Ireland may be admitting defeat. The governor of the Central Bank of Ireland said today that he expects his country will soon accept billions in loans from the EU and the International Monetary Fund. And forensic accountants from both groups arrived in Dublin today to examine Ireland's bank books. It's been quite a fall. During Ireland's boom, the banks got heavily into real estate. Then that bubble burst, leading to government takeovers. Sound familiar? And today we want to take a closer look at one of the banks taken over, Anglo-Irish Bank. Its former CEO, David Drum, is now here in Boston, living in two beautiful homes. The Irish government says he has $11 million of the bank's money. Drum says the bank owes him. And in any event, he's filing for bankruptcy here in Boston. And his critics say he's trying to take advantage of American laws that would protect his sizable pension. Wouldn't this be like the head of, say, Goldman Sachs fleeing the U.S. after our banking collapse? Richard Downes is the Washington correspondent for RTE, Irish Radio and Television. So, Richard, what are the allegations being made about David Drum?
David Drum is a relatively young man. He's in his late 40s, and he was appointed as head of this kind of fast-moving, kind of high-end bank in 2005. And he was regarded as a real high flyer, somebody really to watch. He was clever with figures. He was a brilliant administrator. These were all the things that were said about him. And between 2005 and about 2008, he doubled the bank's balance sheet. In other words, he gave out an awful lot more loans, and in fact tripled them over that period. And then, of course, we all know what happened after that. All the banks came into major problems. Anglo-Irish Bank was probably internationally one of the worst banks in terms of what happened to it. Its balance sheet crashed, and then it had to be taken over by the Irish government. It's difficult to know how much it's going to cost and how much this bank that David Drum has ran is going to cost the Irish public, but probably somewhere in the region of $40 to $50 billion. Now, when you say, is that the equivalent in the US of a Goldman Sachs? Actually, no. It's the equivalent of about seven Goldman Sachses.
Right. Well,
you know, it's so big and so important on the Irish economy, what's happened to this bank. It is possible that it could actually bring the whole country down.
Well, and as you write about this allegation that David Drum took money from the bank, he's saying that as the bank was crashing, that the chair of the bank, a different man, Sean Fitzpatrick, trying to boost the bank's stock, required executives like David Drum to exercise their stock options and take out all these loans.
Yes, he says he was told by this man, Sean Fitzpatrick, who founded, more or less founded the bank and certainly grew it, and is now actually just been made bankrupt in the Republic of Ireland, that this guy made David Drum and others exercise this option and buy those shares and actually have to get funding from the bank to do that. That's David Drum's argument. Now, I think there's a lot of dispute as to whether that actually happened, but it's certainly the case that David Drum got more than $10 million in a loan from the bank and used that money to buy shares. Now, the reality is that there's an investigation by the police in Ireland, the Garda Síochána, as they're called, and they're investigating as to whether that's a legal transaction, because obviously buying your own shares, that's pretty normal kind of thing. But if you were buying them with information which isn't available to the public, well, then obviously that's kind of an insider trading kind of a scenario. So you're getting a sense there of how murky this whole thing is.
Well, now you have David Drum here in the United States. Two homes here, one in beautiful Wellesley, Massachusetts, one Chatham on the Cape. We understand the Chatham home on the Cape is for sale. But how is he even here? We understand he had an E-2 visa, which allows a foreign national to move to the U.S. to set up a business enterprise. But how can you set up a business and request a bankruptcy at the same time?
It's a very strange scenario, and Anglo-Irish Bank have made a request to the bankruptcy court for information in connection with his visa. In other words, how did David Drum, a man who was under huge financial pressure and huge pressure generally, apply in December 2008, early 2009 to go to the United States with an E-2 visa? You know, generally speaking, it's a kind of a business visa for somebody with significant resources who's going to invest in a business in the United States. That's the kind of visa somebody like that will get, not somebody who's on the verge of bankruptcy. To clear on two of his houses, he's listed the house in Chatham in Massachusetts as being worth $6 million. It's one of the most exclusive houses in that rather exclusive town. And, you know, some people are quite surprised. That's more than he paid for it just a few years ago. But that's the listing he has in his bankruptcy filing. And he also has another house, as we were mentioning there, in Wellesley, which is even more murky in terms of who owns it and how it was bought and all the rest. That was bought for around $2 million. He also has a very large pension fund, as you would expect from a very senior banker. He made a lot of money money in his time. But Anglo-Irish Bank, who are the people who are suing him, obviously, in this bankruptcy case, they say, hang on a sec, look, this man earned many millions of dollars between the years 2000 and 2009. Can we have a full accounting of where all the money went? And can we have a full accounting of how he came to live in the United States? Why he isn't in Ireland?
His actions do sound pretty shady. But then you write there's been a twist in the case. And the independent trustee here in the U.S. who's been assigned by the judge to deal with this case has apparently seen some merit in Drum's claims that he was forced to take out these loans, that in fact the bank actually owes him compensation, and she's countersued Anglo-Irish Bank.
Yeah, this is the biggest mystery of all. This is Kathleen Dwyer, who's the trustee, the interim trustee, I should say, appointed by the U.S. Bankruptcy Office and by the judge to look into this. And she says, yes, now, as I understand it, if there is any merit of any sort seen by the bankruptcy trustee in any of the claims made by the debtor in a bankruptcy case, well, then they're kind of obliged, if you like, to go and to go down that road to find out, is there any more money that the interim trustee can get from any party in this case that would be available for the creditors to actually get in the end? So you have this rather bizarre situation, to say the least, that the interim trustee is suing one of the parties to the whole thing so that they can get money to pay the creditors. Who's the creditor? The same person they're suing. It's a very strange little circle.
What's been the reaction back in Ireland?
Oh, I think people just are so beaten down by what's happened. I mean, people talk about the recession here in the United States and 9.6% unemployment and how tough it's been and how people have had wages cuts and foreclosure and all the rest. I think the reality is that Ireland has had what you've had here, you know, twice and three times. We've had a recession going on in Ireland, a solid recession, for nearly 3 years now. Property prices have fallen by at least 50%. Huge numbers of people have been thrown out of work and been made redundant. Those people who are in work have had pay cuts. You know, simple one would be the company I work for. We all voted for a pay cut. Public servants, people who work for the government, have had two pay cuts. And, of course, lots of people in the private sector have lost their jobs. So it's been a catalogue of incredible woe. Mm. The fact that everybody in Ireland feels like they're having a really tough time, and then they look at this guy, David Drum, and they say, hey, hang on a sec, he seems to have two big houses in a swanky part of Boston. How come he's doing so well and we're doing so badly?
Richard Downes, Washington correspondent for RTE, Ireland's national public service broadcaster. Richard, thank you.
You're more than welcome.